It's another great day to talk about what happens inside the boardroom. Welcome to Board Vision, the official podcast of the NACD, the National Association of Corporate Directors. On this show, we share perspectives from leading corporate directors, discuss what makes boards effective, how they can help companies face challenges today, and become future ready. In a conversation between Susan Paley, NACD Vice President of the Chapter Network, and Rose McKinney-James, a board member at companies including Ioneer, MGM Resorts International, Pacific Premier Bank Corp, and Toyota Financial Savings Bank, McKinney-James sheds light on how a director can prepare for their first day in the boardroom, what's expected of new directors, and the general ins and outs of onboarding, from the board to the individual. But first, a quick word about NACD's directorship certification.
Today's boards operate in a dynamic and rapidly evolving world. The National Association of Corporate Directors provides directorship certification that sets the standard for high-impact board directors. It's more than a certification. This is the premier program preparing directors to navigate a complex business and governance landscape. NACD's directorship certification will enable you to demonstrate commitment and create real value for your organization. Learn more at nacdonline.org.
Rose McKinney-James, welcome. Now, we have a lot of conversations at NACD about the pathway to the boardroom. Let's take this conversation and launch it from the next step. We've done that pathway well. We've landed a board seat. And now, white knuckles as we head toward our first board meeting. What is it that you'd advise directors to know when they're entering that boardroom for the first time?
Well, I think the first thing is to set aside the excitement and euphoria. It's, you know, sort of wearing off, and recognize that it's time really to lean into the positive aspects of the journey getting to the board. So I think it requires you to redirect your lens, maybe leaning into reviewing your overall responsibilities, thinking about preparation for this part of the journey becomes, I think, the most important aspect of your ability to show up in the way that you're hoping to. And so taking some time to review your board materials, past materials, revisiting the company's profile, thinking about your view of the company's business strategy, and then just thinking about your experience to date and how you plan to apply that to the new role. I think it's always a good thing to familiarize yourself with the backgrounds of the key members of the corporate team, the management team, your fellow board members. This becomes important as you ease into and hopefully develop some comfort in this new role.
You've served on a number of boards, probably 7 or 10 of them. If you reflect back to the first time you walked into a boardroom as a new board member and the way you would walk in now, tomorrow, to a boardroom, if you were to join a board now, what have you learned that you think is particularly important, sort of the secret sauce or a memorable way in which you've seen yourself or others do a first board meeting you might recommend?
Well, the first board meeting is always, I think, a little challenging. It's hard to get past the intimidation of anything that's new. I mean, candidly, my first board meeting was a very difficult environment because I walked into a room of extremely well-established executives and government officials who had reputations that preceded them. And so there is that intimidation factor. But once you get over it and come to terms with the fact that you're there for a reason, I think you benefit from leaning into your experience. The whole notion of onboarding and figuring out how to integrate into an organization is best, I think, focused on your ability to feel comfortable in the setting. And my experience was one where there was no real formal onboarding. I think the advice that I offer is to make sure that you're a self-starter and that you begin to explore resources to help you acclimate to the board. And as I recall, one of the ways that I was able to do that was to turn to resources like NACD. And it's hard to believe it, but that was in 1999. So much has changed around the board experience over that period of time. And it is wonderful to know that now new directors have the opportunity to go through more formal onboarding and orientation. And I think that is critical to their ability to be successful.
Yeah. So you mentioned you've been in the game for 25 years. Congratulations, first of all. That's quite a track record so far. I bet you're only getting started. And you talked about formal onboarding, which you did not have when you started out. With your experience now, what have you observed as the components of a formal onboarding process?
Well, the important thing is to make sure that there is a process, that you are thinking about what it's going to take to be an effective member of the board. And so preparing and understanding the public profile of the company, spending time with the CEO, with some of the key staff members, to include probably your chief financial officer, the general counsel who serves as the secretary of the board, and becoming familiar with the operational aspects of the board to management relationship. I think that becomes an important aspect of what you do in a formal onboarding setting. As I recall, I was simply given a binder, and the binder had lots of good information in it, but you need to have that context. And so spending time with individual members of the team becomes important, and also getting to know some of the leadership of the board. So you've probably had some exposure, as an example, to the chair of the GovNom committee, but finding an opportunity to spend time with the chair of the audit committee, if there's a lead director, getting some perspective from the lead director. These are some of the key aspects of finding your path to your role as a member of hopefully a collegial team of directors, and feeling prepared to really engage.
So you mentioned in the beginning of our conversation, I think maybe I'm answering the first question, that one should hopefully be a self-starter. And I really heard that woven through your answer just now about selectively creating meetings with the CEO, the CFO, the GC, and so forth. That sounds like, as a director, I reach out and I create those appointments and those meetings one-on-one. Is there any formal, shall I say, training that's offered to me? Do I get called into a meeting if I'm a new director and get told, here's the deal, here's what you need to know? Is there anything such as that?
Oh, absolutely. And in most instances, that is initiated by the general counsel. In some instances, the CEO facilitates it. And these meetings are held in advance of your first formal board meeting. And that's when you are provided with various materials, the annual report, as an example, the proxy, any other materials that will help you familiarize yourself and gain an understanding of how the company actually operates. So there's a range of ways, and a range of ways in my own experience, where you are invited to onboard, if you will, with the new organization. And that can, as I said, range from your willingness to do some of the initial work, being invited to participate in a formal setting where you have these important meetings, to include meetings with your board buddy or mentor, if one is assigned. I think that is typically a safe place to ask some of those nagging questions that always surface when you are entering a new experience.
Oh, I love that you can get a board buddy or a mentor. Is that quite common?
Well, it's certainly becoming more common. It is, I think, an important aspect of how you engage with the board to have someone who has the experience and can share with you perspective based on that experience and be available to you for any questions that you may have, and to better help understand sort of the culture of the company. So I think having a board buddy, somebody who can walk you through both the formalities and informalities of a new company can be very helpful. And I do think we're seeing that more often.
Terrific. I can imagine that this then becomes a combination of those more formal activities that you said you'll be invited to those kinds of meetings and trainings, the independent ones you talked about creating one-on-one meetings, and the mentor makes a nice sort of combination of onboarding elements. How long does onboarding last? And here's what I mean. Is it that few weeks leading up to your first meeting and then you're supposed to jump in with both feet? Or is onboarding like a one-year journey? You're actually onboarding the whole time that you're integrating for that year? When do you move from newbie to veteran and you're done with the onboarding usually?
I do think it really does take a moment. There are some boards that have a formal training, as I call it, the sort of the binder approach, where they give you the information and expect you to sort of figure it out. And if you're lucky, there will be someone in senior management who will help guide you, and then they're sort of done and leave it to you to ask questions along the way. But I think the more prepared board appreciates the fact that onboarding takes much longer, that you need to go through a series of committee meetings. You need to sit in a formal board meeting more than once. You need to be on a special call to really appreciate the depth of the role of the role of a director and your responsibilities. So I think while it is typical to simply focus on the beginning, it is more critical to think about a longer term around the onboarding process to make sure that the integration of a new director is successful. Because at the end of the day, what you're looking for is an effective director, a high-performing board, and that really does require work.
And I can imagine that onboarding gets accelerated when in your initial period of being a director, you're struck by a crisis at the enterprise, right? That can really season you quite quickly.
Season is a good way to describe it, Susan, because as I said, in my experience, I've required to deal with transactions almost immediately coming on board. There have been unexpected incidents that require more board oversight and sort of an immediate responsibility to lean into the details of a crisis, if you will. And if you have not had that experience, if you're not a seasoned director, it can be very challenging. I think I read somewhere where almost a third of directors that have been appointed to S&P 500 boards in the past couple of years actually had no experience at a public company. And so it does require that you are at some point aligned with the leadership of the board, so you better understand what to expect. And that should be a part of, I think, the orientation and onboarding process.
I think some of our listeners might be rejoicing to hear that 3 out of 10 of them might get a seat on a public company board without having that experience before. Good numbers.
Well, that's it. There's definitely a shift. Definitely a shift.
So, Rose, you've been helping us to understand how to get it right when you're onboarding. I think both from the perspective of the new director in the room and from the board, how to do it correctly. I can't help but ask the flip of that scenario. How can a board get it wrong? Where have you in your experience seen a board not do onboarding in a way that's useful to either the individual or to the enterprise?
I think there, in an instance where you have a board with many seasoned directors, over time, as they become comfortable with the company and their responsibilities, sometimes they forget the journey that they undertook to get their first board seat or to identify a path for becoming more involved in the process. So I think what typically goes wrong is either the assumption that a director is fully availed of the information that he or she needs to make decisions, and or a recognition that there is almost a requirement to make sure that everyone has a level playing field and understanding of the issues that the board is undertaking. So the lack of an orientation or onboarding process is probably a big fail and a red flag. An onboarding process that doesn't consider the full breadth of the requirements and the needs of a new director, a process that does not really prioritize the importance of onboarding and kind of relegates it to the non-gov chair without real input from other directors or key management. And so it's not a full opportunity for directors to new directors to fully engage in the process.
Yeah, it's amazing how many analogies I think there are to just our regular work day as an executive. I mean, how many times have we realized that we've used in a meeting a whole bunch of acronyms that we understand in terms of inside baseball at the organization, but the new person at the table, we lost them 5 sentences ago because they're still trying to figure out that. And you talked about availing them of the information. They really have to come with a level set.
It's really important. And I think the other thing is, as I said earlier, I mean, there's really been a shift. And maybe shift isn't the best term to use, but a pivot, if you will, around what we're looking for in terms of new directors. We're looking for directors with very different backgrounds, with different experience, with different skill sets, whether or not it's tech or cyber or other aspects of business. And in many instances, these are individuals who've not had exposure to the public company structure. And so they come in, you know, prepared to be a part of the governance structure, but they don't have the experience that's necessary for them to, on day one, fully engage. And so the process needs to be adjusted to balance the fact that you're looking for directors with diverse backgrounds and a process that's been in place for many years that had not anticipated the fact that you might have directors who come from a different perspective. Interestingly, as you noted, 25 years ago, I came into the process where many of the directors that had been selected came from what I call the buddy system. Buddy system meaning that you came from the country club or the Rotary Club or, I mean, there was a trust factor there, but there wasn't a lot of emphasis on whether or not you could actually effectively participate on an audit committee. But those times have changed and the process is more sophisticated, more strategic for filling board seats. There's a lot of work and due diligence around skills matrices and et cetera. And so I think that the process needs to reflect that shift or pivot. And I see more and more in the boards where I have the privilege to participate.
Yeah, on a previous podcast episode, our guest Nell Minow, who had been in the game for quite some years, said that early in her career, she noted that O.J. Simpson sat on two different audit committees.
Which is, another example of the buddy system, taking nothing away from those who come from more non-traditional backgrounds. I mean, it's not the fact that he was an athlete, but the question is, was he really prepared or anyone else similarly situated to take on some of the more challenging and complex issues that come before the audit committee? I mean, I just think we have to be realistic around the skills that are required to be a director. And once you've gone through the journey of seeking a board seat, if nothing else, you can appreciate the importance of that role in corporate governance.
Yeah, Rose, you've given me something to think about because we use the phrase sometimes folks who are underrepresented historically in the boardroom, and it can be interpreted in a couple of different ways when we're talking about diversity in the boardroom and so forth. You've raised the fact that when we now are seeking experts in cyber, in various kinds of risk and AI, we need people who have not necessarily been in those seats before. So you've really given us a good perspective about what it takes to ensure that they are well equipped to contribute as appropriate to the board conversation.
Precisely. It is so critical.
So we've been talking about, I found myself in this conversation, and I think you as well, using the phrase new director. And it could be a little confusing whether we mean director who's new to that particular board that's onboarding them, or just new director to the world of board governance. So let's break it down for a minute. If I am a new director to a board and have seldom served in the boardroom, if at all, how would my onboarding needs differ from whether I'm an experienced director and just happen to be entering Acme Corp's boardroom for the first time? What are the differences in between those two experiences and needs?
Well, I think the seasoned director understands the process. The seasoned director has already served on committees, in some instances may have chaired a committee. And so they understand the nuances associated with actual service. A new director is beginning to understand that process and probably requires some additional focus on the process to avail themselves of the ability to their experience and, in some instances, their unique skill sets. So I think the difference is basically one of experience and how much exposure you've had to the board process and the ability to determine how best to use your skills and when to lean in and when to listen, which I think is an incredibly important aspect of board service. And that, I think, is the real significant difference in terms of someone walking in brand new, having never served on a board, versus someone who actually is maybe new to the enterprise, but not new to the process.
In that bit of your conversation, you mentioned listening and the critical importance of that skill or that talent. Help me if you would figure out the right balance. I've heard two things. I've heard when you join a board, lay low, listen more than you talk. You're the newbie. Don't go in with a I know what you need to do conversational attitude. I've also heard that's old news. We don't go, the pace of business is too rapid now. The needs are too extreme. We need to go in and be ready to contribute, opening our mouths. Where's that balance for you?
What an interesting question. In my experience, the important thing is to speak up when you have something to contribute. I do think it's important to listen and to gain an understanding of the perspectives of your fellow board members. But I think to your point, the need for important and strategic decision making requires new directors to be comfortable sharing their perspective, particularly when a critical decision needs to be made. It is not helpful to sit back and to be perceived as too new to contribute. So I don't know whether or not I'm actually able to strike a balance, but I think it is indeed old news that you need to lay low, because the question is, what's the value proposition of your sitting in the room and having a seat at the table? That doesn't mean that you have to come in. What's the phrase? Guns a-blazing or whatever. I think certainly showing some deference to your newness is appropriate, but it should not be a means of precluding you from making a substantive contribution.
Yeah, I do hear a balance in your answer. On the one hand, though, you talked about bringing value. Those seats are hard-won seats in the boardroom, right? There's a line around the corner of people who probably wanted to earn their seat at that table as well. And we need to bring value, because it's no joke that we've landed there. At the same time, I appreciate that at the start of our discussion, you mentioned one of your first board seats, the room was quite intimidating. And there are a lot of, I think, ex-regulators or government folks there. You have to be able to read the room and read the culture and know how to bring that value, right? When to speak up.
Exactly. And the more time you spend with the board and the more comfortable you become with the process, the easier it is for you to find the right time to speak up and to be an active member of the conversation. But there is an expectation, once you secure that seat, that you are going to make a difference and that you are going to contribute in a very focused and substantive way.
Yeah, indeed. So we've spoken about a lot of nuances around how to contribute, how to onboard, and what happens when we step in. Are there any stories or just, you know, comments you can make to help us understand the differences in the experiences when coming onto a board for different types of companies? So it could be your experiences at publicly traded versus privately held versus large nonprofits, or maybe across differing industries or geographies. What can you recall about those different experiences?
Well, I have been very fortunate, and I have served on all three of those. So a large nonprofit, a foundation board, I've served public boards and private boards, and the experiences are very different. The dynamics are very different. Public boards are highly regulated, and understanding those regulations and the expectations becomes an important aspect of the work. Private boards typically include investors who have very specific strategies around how they want to see a company grow and develop, pushing value for shareholders. And then on a nonprofit, government, or foundation board, it's mission driven. And so understanding the mission and being prepared to provide strategic guidance on how to effectuate that mission becomes really important. So the focus is different, and it's nuanced in a way that allows a director, I think, to identify those aspects of her experience that will really provide a support and, as I go back to this value proposition, to the conversation. So in some instances, I found, particularly on the nonprofit side, my experience from public boards and understanding the rigor of governance became very helpful. When I was on a private board, it was difficult for me to initially appreciate the difference around the focus of a director being more of an advisor and bringing the richness of experience to a conversation. So the nuances, there are definitely nuances involved in the different aspects of board service.
I think earlier in our discussion, you mentioned the word, you know, you said what's hopefully a collegial board. And it makes me wonder, we've discussed meetings. We're going to meet with the chief executives and the chief officers of the organization, the NomGov chair, the lead director. We're going to have training conversations, committee meetings. What about the less formal aspects? A board dinner the night before sometimes that I know is commonly held, the informal coffees and chats. What aspect of importance are those?
I think they become incredibly important because that's when you're able to take a deep breath and expose sort of the human side of your presence. I think I mentioned that having a board buddy or a mentor becomes helpful. This is where the social aspect of board work surfaces. In some instances, there's an awkwardness. You're the new person, as you call it, the newbie. But being able to break bread with someone is a very different experience. And having just a basic conversation can help the directors gain an appreciation for what you bring to the table. They gain a sense of who you are and what your focus might be just by having a casual conversation, which you cannot always have, obviously, in a structured meeting. So they do become, I think, very important aspects of your board journey. And I appreciate boards that provide that opportunity. It's not always the case. In some instances, they think, you know, this is an unnecessary step. And, you know, we're here, it's all business. We're simply going to have our meetings. Then you look to the sidebar, that opportunity on a break to simply grab a cup of coffee with a director that you want to say hello to. And that connection can make a huge difference when there are more tense conversations and differences of opinion on how to approach problem solving.
Yeah. I mean, not only are you talking about bringing our humanity and our humanness into this and the foundation of all these things being relationship, but I can imagine that when I sit across from you in a hot, debated topic is on the table at a boardroom, and I have a little more window into your heart, into your mindset, into your way of being in the world, I perhaps can understand better where you're coming from. I mean, has that been an experience you've had?
That is exactly the experience. And it's interesting. There's also this unfortunate underlying issue around why you might be at the table. This notion of either being of a diverse candidate or being the cyber person or being the environmental person. And to be able to demonstrate that there's dimension well beyond kind of that initial thought and avoid being pigeonholed, if you will, or narrowly focused on a single issue, having those conversations gives greater perspective and gives you the opportunity to display your depth. And as I said, I think it's incredibly important to have those opportunities to show that you are more than a statistic. And for me, that's become an important aspect of my board journey.
Mm. And as I was listening to you explain that experience, I couldn't help but think, yes, inside the boardroom, and probably outside the boardroom, probably in our executive roles, in our organizations, in our staff.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So speaking of taking an executive experience into the boardroom, what for somebody who is making that leap, going from strictly having an executive career, going into their first ever boardroom seat or board seat, what might surprise them about that leap?
Well, the first thing you learn is that you don't know as much as you think you do. But I think just the sheer amount of power that is vested in a board seat, the responsibility for oversight, the opportunity to really engage in providing strategic guidance, that you are not limited to the four corners of a job description and sometimes your comfort level. So many times we come into a situation and it's hard to acknowledge that maybe you're not the smartest person in the room. And it is a very humanizing and humbling experience, both professionally and otherwise.
So as we wrap up our conversation, I wondered if you have any gems you can share with us, some of the lessons maybe that you've learned that you can impart upon new directors to make their journey even smoother when they're onboarding with a new board of directors.
Well, I do hope that new directors appreciate the importance of due diligence. As I mentioned, it's incredibly important for you to find your comfort level and to be willing to explore the company, understand the culture, take the time to really orient yourself beyond that board binder and to look for opportunities to both be curious as well as to think through how you will make the best contribution to this new board. I think it's important to sort of manage expectations and not view this as something that requires you to be in charge on day one. That, like the journey to get to the board, the journey serving, it is a journey to serve on a board, and making sure that you find both personal and professional satisfaction in advancing your role as a director. I have found over the years that I've served on a variety of boards and a number of different industries that the one thing that is constant is that you are with a group of people who have a common goal. And in most instances, that common goal is to make sure that you are advancing shareholder value, that you're appreciating the importance of understanding and engaging with this, with all of your stakeholders, and that you're just bringing your best authentic self forward. If you can do that, then I think you're on the path to having a very positive and productive board journey.
Beautiful. Thank you, Rose. You mentioned that it is a journey, and we appreciate you lending your wisdom to everyone who's on that journey at some point in their lives. And I think that I might suggest to our producer, we subtitle this episode, Onboarding, Getting Beyond the Binder.
Beyond the binder. I love it.
You've had a lot of experience with being handed a binder, and it sounds like we're changing, that game is changing.
Yes, indeed. I am hopeful that we will always think beyond the binder and find ways to really create dimension when it comes to the onboarding experience.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for being a part of this experience. We appreciate you and appreciate the wisdom you've lent us.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Me too.
That concludes this episode of Board Vision. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please subscribe and join us next time. Until then, visit nacdonline.org to stay informed about the latest resources NACD has to offer, such as memberships, certification, national or chapter events, and our content, including reports, articles, and Directorship Magazine. That's nacdonline.org. Thank you for listening.